Welcome to Write Through the Roof, the podcast for writers who want to improve their craft. I'm Madeline Diest, and in this show, I'm interviewing writers of all different types and asking, what's that one thing that took your writing to the next level? So come and join me and learn all the proven tips, tricks, and techniques to take your writing right through the roof. Women of Wasps and War, The Sting of Justice, a new historical fantasy novel by Madeline Diest. Women of Wasps and War is a grim and gripping tale of power and politics, love and honour, men and women, the old ways and the new. Women of Wasps and War is now available on Amazon and Kindle Unlimited. Hello and welcome to Write Through the Roof. I'm Madeline Diest and today I'm speaking with Alan Baxter. Hi Alan, how's it going?
Hey, that's good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No worries. A bit of an introduction about Alan. So Alan is a multi-award winning author of supernatural thrillers and urban horror. He's also an international master of kung fu. And his latest book, Served Cold, a collection of 16 provocative and intensely chilling short stories, is out now. Welcome again, Alan.
Thank you.
So, as I understand, you are a master of kung fu, so you understand the benefit of a warm-up. So what I like to do is a few warm-up questions to get us limbered up and ready to get into the, you know, the bigger topics.
Okay.
So a few quick, short questions to get us started. So the age-old question, are you a plotter or a pantser?
Both. It's one of the things I can get on the soapbox on that, and I won't. But
this is a perfect opportunity if you want to.
Well, I suppose that's true. Yeah, it's one of those things. It's a dichotomy I don't agree with. It's like there's no such thing as pantser or plotter. It's I think it's like a sliding scale, and everybody's somewhere on that scale. Some people tend to always plot a lot. Some people tend to sort of not plot at all. But for me, it varies from book to book. So sometimes I always go in with what I call signposts. So before I start, I'll have in mind at least sort of half a dozen key beats that I want to hit through the story. And that might not include the end. I might not know how the book's going to finish, but I'll have some signposts to guide me along the way. And then off I go. But then some projects I'll plan out a lot more than that. So, yeah, it's a sliding scale. It varies. And with the current projects, I've run into an issue there from not planning enough. So who knows? Yeah, it varies basically.
Mm. So in a follow-on type question, so are you a vomit drafter or do you carefully craft each sentence, each paragraph before you moved on to the next one?
Absolute vomit. some would say that's how it stays. I do tend to... I'm very much a believer in just churning it all out until it's down and then going back and fixing it up. As far as I'm concerned, the first draft is me telling myself the story, and then subsequent drafts, it's polishing up into something worthwhile telling someone else. But having said that, I will quite often read over what I've done the day before or whatever, just to sort of get my eye back in. And so I'm not averse to making some touch-ups and changes as I go along like that. Normally, if I realize things need work, I've always got a file of notes alongside whatever I'm working on. And one of those documents in there will say second draft notes, and it'll say, remember to do this, put this in here, drop that mention here. And so that I can save that stuff the next draft rather than trying to go back. So yeah, I'm all about getting the draft down. Once I've got a first draft, I'm much more happy. The first draft is the hardest part for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you write every day?
No. Another soapbox moment there. I really hate it when people say, you must write every day. I absolutely don't. I can't. Like, a lot of people can't, and that doesn't make them any less writers. I've got a five-year-old son. I have a martial arts academy to run, general life and things. And so, you know, but having said that, you do absolutely have to make the time to write because you're not going to find it. So you need some sort of some sort of structure. And I, when I'm working on a first draft, I do sort of aim a loose sort of target, if you like, of 5,000 words a week. So if I'm working on a first draft, I try to make sure I get 5,000 words a week down. I don't beat myself up if I don't. More often than not, I exceed that. And I have very specific times that I spend writing, like Wednesdays, for example. That's my one full writing day. I've only got a class in the evening. I don't have any other classes to teach. And on Wednesday, my wife takes care of taking my son to school and picking him up and stuff like that. So that's my full day. Tuesday, I take my son to school and pick him up. So I write from 9 till 3, things like that. So I do have very structured time, but definitely not every day.
Okay. And when you do sit down to write, what's your writing fuel of choice?
Coffee. They always say, what is it, write drunk and edit sober? I tend to write caffeinated and edit drunk. I tend to drink a lot of scotch of an evening. Well, not a lot of scotch. I'm not. It's not. I don't have a drinking problem. But quite often, I'll have a nice scotch or two of an evening, and that's often when I'll sort of read over and polish up stuff once that draft is done. I'm fueled by coffee most of the time, and until I've had coffee, it's best probably not to approach.
I've never heard that advice to edit drunk before.
Yeah, write caffeinated and edit drunk. It's that's my method. That's my writing advice for all the aspiring writers out there. Get highly caffeinated, and then when you've done it, get drunk.
You know, it's totally.
I probably shouldn't.
It's totally going to be the soundbite from this interview.
Yes, I won't get invited to another school in my life.
All right. It definitely sounds like we've got to know you a little bit more. So let's start to get a little bit more in depth. So how do you describe your writing, and what themes do you like to explore?
This comes up sometimes, and it's tricky. It's tricky because I never met a genre I didn't like. I tend to often, when people say, what do you write? I tend to say, well, I just write dark, weird shit. Because if you say horror, people have a very specific sort of immediate reaction to what they think horror is, especially if they're not big horror readers, and their mind immediately goes to the slasher movies, which is absolutely the sort of stuff I write. If you say dark fantasy or urban fantasy or whatever, people, again, have sort of fixed ideas of what those things might be. But most of my stuff tends to be a weird kind of soup of fantasy and urban fantasy and horror and the weird and all that sort of stuff mixed up together. And I always end up playing around with sort of crime and noir and mystery sort of stuff as well that all gets mixed in. So it's, yeah, so I tend to just say dark, weird shit. And if they ask more, then I can go into a bit more detail. But I'm often, as for themes, it seems that I'm often exploring themes of sort of justice and injustice and consequences and all that sort of meaty stuff that goes on.
Sounds like you also need to throw in some romance just to get, you know, round out all your genres.
To be honest, when it comes to genre writing, so if you mark off the genre of sort of literary fiction, I pretty much do cover every other genre except probably romance and erotica. So yeah, it's not to say there isn't a bit of smut sometimes in the books. There is often a romantic relationship or not. So yeah, but definitely not romance as a genre. No, that's the one I don't really go near.
Oh, there's always time.
Yeah, exactly. I never say no.
Okay, so here is now the big question that I like to ask. So what do you think is the one thing that's been most helpful in improving your writing?
Time. it sounds trite, really, but it's true. I mean, I've done, back in the early days, I did all sorts of writers' courses, you know, online stuff, and I went to New South Wales Writers' Centre and did some courses and stuff there, and sort of did all the self-educating that I could. But really, reading and writing continuously is the best thing to improve. It's a sort of a martial arts mindset as well, really. A lot of people think that there's some way to get good. It's like people will come to a kung fu class, and they'll think that they can be Bruce Lee in no time at all if only they get shown how to do it. And it's like, well, yeah, I can show you how to do it. That won't take very long, but you still have to do it 10,000 times to get any good at it. And you have to do it right, and you have to be constantly corrected. And so it's that time and the commitment that is what will make you good. So, and I think, and you know, there's martial arts is an art, the same as writing is an art, and it's about dedicating a lot of time to good practice and constantly striving to improve. So that's really what I think is the most important thing, is to just keep doing it and constantly strive to be better, never sort of sit back and chill out, always try to be better.
Mm. So do you think that your martial arts practice has really helped your writing practice?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've been a martial artist since I was a sprog. It's just something I've always done since I was a kid. So I've always kind of been surrounded by that dedication to a work ethic, I suppose, in a way. And, you know, if you want to get any good, if you want to achieve anything, you have to commit to it and work hard and repeat to get, you know, to master these things. I've actually been slowly, over many years, making notes. Eventually I'm going to write a nonfiction book about it, about the parallels. Mm. But it does put you with that right mindset of, you know, dedication to the art, the time, the practice, the discipline, et cetera. You know, being a martial artist has informed and improved every part of my life, and most definitely that includes writing.
Because I've done a little bit of martial arts many, many years ago, and having just come back from a holiday, I've just struggled with getting my concentration back. And so I can kind of see how the martial arts, with that kind of dedication to form and the mindfulness angle to it as well, would be really helpful to ensure that you get your focus into your writing practice.
Yeah, most definitely. And, you've got to turn up and train. Mm. If you want to get any good, you've got to sit down and write if you want to get any good. The very basic principles are very much the same.
Mm. Interesting. So are you trying any new techniques with your writing at the moment?
Well, right at the moment, I'm trying the technique of not writing. So it's like that, the old Enter the Dragon Bruce Lee movie, The Art of Fighting Without Fighting. But that's mainly because I've run into issues. I've recognised a significant problem with the book I'm working on that needs a lot of thinking to fix. And I've got a lot of stuff coming up over the next couple of weeks that's going to keep me busy. So my current writing method is to step away from the manuscript and just get on with a load of other stuff and let my brain tick over and let that hind brain hopefully start figuring out some problems. But it's a tricky thing, because it's very easy, once you've been doing this for a long time, it's very easy to drop into sort of habits that you don't even really realize are habits. And most of the time they're working for you, and that's okay. But I think it's important to recognize when you're sort of coasting a little bit and mix things up, which is one of the reasons I love short stories so much, apart from the fact that I just love them as an art form. I love to read them and write them. They also sort of shake up the process, and you know, I can be more experimental with a short story and decide if something is worth pursuing or not, or a style or something that I can try. And it's just exercise. It's cross-training in a way. You know, if you always do the same thing, you sort of get used to it and your body locks into a routine. Whereas if you shake that up, then you shock yourself into change. And so, and it can develop. You know, my Devouring Dark was a novel that came out at the end of last year, and that was basically a novel length sequel to a short story I wrote a couple of years before. So these things all feed into each other. It's the yin and yang of it all. One feeds into the other.
Mm. So it'll be interesting for listeners, as it was interesting for me, to think that you've written however many novels and you still struggle with some of the drafts where you realize it isn't quite meeting up to what you hoped it could be.
Oh yes, most definitely. I mean, some just come easy. I wrote a novella called The Book Club, which is about 30,000 words. So it's a very short novel, but I mean, it's still a sort of decent chunk of writing. But that was an idea that was turning over in my head. And then it came to the top of the pile, and it had been living in my head so long. And I just poured out 30,000 words in 6 days. Mm. It just
story was there and it just poured out. Whereas now the novel I'm working on, I've been working on for most of this year so far, and it's 60,000 words and broken. So, yeah, you can never really pick these things. So that's I just need to figure out without sort of breaking down what's going on. There's one sort of main thread that goes through this story that I thought was one thing. But it's just not going to work. And so I just need to rethink that thing and then go back and rewrite the first 60,000, well, not rewrite, but, you know, redraft the first 60,000 to account for this change. Mm. And then I'll be able to finish the book. So,
Yeah, I was going to ask you whether it was a plot problem or character or...
Well, with this particular book, there's two main threads. One is a very sort of human thread of what's effectively a home invasion, and the other thread is the supernatural thread of something else is also going on, and these two things kind of clash together, and the supernatural thing is the thing that's not working. So I need to basically revisit that and figure out the supernatural threat that I had in mind is just not going to work the way I sort of envisioned it, and I have to rethink the big bad basically and rework what that thread is and how it works and how it subsequently affects the other thread and therefore obviously the whole book. So
good. Okay, so you mentioned that you like to read short stories, so let's talk a little bit more about reading. So what writers inspire you?
So many. I mean, probably the biggest influence on me is Clive Barker. I discovered Clive Barker in my early teens, much too young really, but didn't do me any harm. I was probably about 12 when I first discovered The Books of Blood, which is his volumes of collected short stories, and it absolutely blew my mind. And The Great and Secret Show is a Clive Barker novel that I reread periodically, which is probably my favorite book. But I'm also hugely sort of influenced by all the people you'd expect in the sort of dark and weird fiction, people like, as well as Barker, people like Stephen King and H.P. Lovecraft, Edgar Allan Poe, people like that. And then more modern writers, people like Laird Barron and Nathan Bolingrud, I think are a couple of excellent writers working today, and Australians like Karen Warren and Margot Lanigan are just outstanding. There's a litany of people. I could just go on and on. And I'm also heavily influenced, especially from my earlier days, from comics. I read a lot of comic books, and so people like Garth Ennis and Alan Moore, Jamie Delano, and people like that were big influences on me in terms of storytelling and writing as well. So, yeah, enormous. There's a whole pantheon of literary gods that I pay homage to, really.
What's Clive Barker up to these days? I haven't heard anything from him for ages.
He is sort of out and about a little bit. He had a really significant health issue a little while ago, which kind of knocked things over. And he seems to be just sort of re-emerging from that a little bit now. Scarlet Gospels was the last thing that came out, which was sort of a Hellraiser, Hellbound Heart sequel that met with mixed reviews is probably the best way to put it. But he's also an artist, and he's involved with film and production and stuff as well, as he always has been. So definitely a much lower profile, and it would be great to see him actually putting out some good novel-length work again, but I'm not sure if we will or not. But he does seem to be sort of emerging from this hiatus of poor health. So with any luck, we'll see more from him. It would be good.
Yeah, fingers crossed, because in the 80s he was the man.
yeah, exactly. I mean, that's when I first sort of came to horror, I was a big fantasy reader, and then I discovered horror a little bit obliquely and started reading Stephen King and James Herbert and stuff like that, and then discovered Barker, you know, he often gets credited with the dark fantastique, which is a good description, because that's the kind of sandpit that I play in as well, where there's this blending of just weird stuff and fantasy and horror and that. And he kind of really made that his own, as you say, especially in the 80s. And he's still the benchmark for that kind of dark, weird fiction. And so, yeah, if I get anything close to the sort of things that he achieved, then I'll be pleased.
Fantastic. Okay. So tell me a little bit more about Served Cold. So as we outlined before, it's 16 tales. So were you trying anything different with these stories, and what inspired them?
Well, this is my second collection of short fiction. In 2016, Crow Shine was my first collection, which won the Australian Shadows Award and got nominated for a couple of other things. And that was, I think there's 19 stories in that one, which was previously published stories and three original stories written just for the book. And so 3 years later, I've got that many more short story publications that Grey Matter Press offered me another collection, and we put this one together. So out of these 16 stories, 13 are previously published and three are completely new, written for this book, including the final story, which is a very long one, a novelette of I think it's about 13,000 words or something. So it's a fairly chunky short story. And they're all it's not thematically tight, but they're all in the realm of that dark fantasy and horror. So they're contemporary settings for the most part, a little bit historical in places, but just exploring those themes that so much of my work does, especially in short fiction of justice and injustice and death and consequences and playing with forces we shouldn't be playing with and all that sort of stuff. So this Crow Shine probably leaned a little bit more into fantasy, and I think Served Cold maybe leans a little bit more into horror.
So as you spoke about before, were some of the stories experiments with different forms, things like that?
To a degree, within Served Cold, there are stories written specifically for different markets that have a sort of a certain bent to them. Like there's a story in there called In Vaulted Halls Entombed, which is written for the Snafu series, which is all about sort of high octane military horror. And then other things are a little bit, set the pace much lower down. And then with this one as well, with Served Cold, there's a much higher proportion of Australian-focused stories in it. With Crow Shine and a lot of my early stories, they were written either without a particular named place, and it could be anywhere, or they were in Britain or the US or whatever. I was born and raised in England and came to Australia in my mid-20s. So I've kind of had close to half and half life in both places. Whereas with the stories in Served Cold, probably two-thirds of the stories are very specifically set in Australia. Mm-hmm. Couple of sort of outback stories where I get to play with that sense of the weird and the land and the place that is particularly Australian. So in some ways, a lot of the stories are exploring that, having been in Australia for 20-something years now. There's hopefully a fairly broad range of stuff that I'm playing with there, and some first person and third person, present tense and past, and so there's a little bit of a mix up of stuff that's in there.
And it sounds like you're very prolific with all these short stories as well as regular novels coming out.
I've had something like 80 something short stories published now, but that's over the course of nearly 15 years. So it's I really, really enjoy short stories. I love to write them. And I will often, when I get to the end of a first draft of a big project that I've had my brain in focused on this big thing for a long time, it's nice to just clear out. And I tend to write a few stories, short stories, before I then go back to redraft or re-edit the big project again. So I always sort of tend to find myself writing short fiction in between bigger projects. And then periodically I'll be commissioned for short fiction once you've been at it a while, so you get to a point where people come after you for it, so which is really nice. Obviously I might from time to time have to put things aside and work on a story that somebody's asked me for, so but yeah, I just love doing it. It's really good fun.
So your short stories are a bit of a palate cleanser, are they?
Well, they often can be, yeah. And often it's like ideas are never an issue. Writing a good story is the trick. That ideas, you can have 30 ideas an hour if you just sit back and let your brain tick over. But sometimes there'll be an idea or a scene or a sort of combination of ideas that will just be bugging me somewhere. Sometimes that might clash with other things and eventually grow to be a novel, but often I'll just need to sort of exercise that from my brain by working it into a story. And so often those things will go into short stories. So quite often when I'm working on a bigger project, these things are banging around in my head and, you know, asking to be written or explored. And so I get to the end of the big project and I've got all these sort of ideas and things that I put down, and they end up often becoming short stories. So.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, so I might start to wrap up now and let you get back to your writing, seeing it's a Wednesday and it's your writing day. So you've spoken already about what you're working on at the moment, and so we won't touch on that because it's resting.
It's resting, yes.
But if people want to find out more about you and your work, where's the best place to find you online?
Well, everything's on my website. AlanBaxterOnline.com is my website, AlanBaxterOnline.com. And there's anywhere you see a book cover on that website, you can click on it to find out about the book. There's links there to my social media and stuff up in the header bar. I'm always on Twitter. I spend too much time probably on Twitter.
I was going to say, you're very often on Twitter.
Yeah, I love Twitter. I enjoy social media. I enjoy the interactions of social media. But the sort of the madcap immediacy of Twitter, I find highly entertaining. So I do tend to spend a lot of time there. It's good fun. And I'm always happy to sort of chat if people catch me in the right moment. Or sometimes my mentions go a bit bananas and I miss things. But so find me on Twitter. That's just my name, at Alan Baxter, or my website, and anything you need to know, you can find from either of those places.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Alan. It was really, really interesting.
No worries. Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Thanks for listening to Write Through the Roof. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe or spread the word by writing a review on your listening platform of choice. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, please go to madelinedst.com or madeline_dst on Twitter, no apostrophes. You can find the show notes for this episode on madelinedst.com under the Write Through the Roof tab. And until next time, what are you going to do to improve your writing this week?